Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We'd like to begin the program with a statement on the Brett Kavanaugh nomination to the U.S. Supreme Court. The Ohio Christian Alliance posted the following article this week in relation to the special hearings that are taking place today on Capitol Hill. It's entitled, "If We Cower Back and Draw Back, We Will Lose This Fight, But If We Pray, We Can Seize the Day." As you are aware, much is at stake this week in the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee as a high-profile hearing will take place, we are now told, on Thursday, September 27th, and that, of course, is today. On the confirmation hearing of Justice Brett Kavanaugh, the 11th-hour accusation and letter that was presented to the media by California Senator Dianne Feinstein has delayed the committee vote and Senate confirmation of Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Republican senators complained that they had not seen the redacted letter that Senator Feinstein produced only after the hearings were concluded. She states that she was in possession of the letter for 2 months. Much has been made in the media of Christine Blasey Ford's accusation against Brett Kavanaugh. He has released a brief statement categorically denying the charge and states he was not at the location at which he says the incident took place 36 years ago. In a back-and-forth maneuvering through her attorney and Chairman Senator Grassley, Ms. Ford, we are told, will now testify before the committee, and of course that's happening today. Other information, however, has come forward as other news sources that you may not have heard of, as the mainstream media has not provided this information. Here's a statement that we put up on the Ohio Christian Alliance Facebook page. It has come to light that Dr. Ford works for a company that produces an abortion pill. Her accusation brought against Justice Judge Kavanaugh has yet to be corroborated by other sources. In fact, just the opposite. Women throughout his career have vouched for his character and professionalism. This woman's far-fetched claim, with few specifics and short on details, appears erroneous in nature, and the motive is now beginning to manifest itself. If she testifies under oath before the U.S. committee, she should be mindful of that. There are many in this country that are beginning to take false accusations seriously and are calling for punitive sentencing of those who present false testimony. As the commandments state, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, in Deuteronomy 5:20. Ms. Ford's attorney is a known liberal activist, and we all learned on Thursday that Ms. Ford's claim is, but we do not know if she has produced writings in support of an abortifacient drug. And according to the Gateway Pundit, she was compensated for her writings. We thought it important that you receive this additional information. What we do ask is that you pray, and we do ask that you do pray for Justice Kavanaugh. The hearings today in the Senate Judiciary Committee and the Senate as they vote, we're told now on Friday, and even this weekend, we are told that a full Senate floor vote will take place on Justice Kavanaugh. The Republicans, if all of them support the nominee, have enough to put him over, but there are a few questions of the senator from Maine, Ms. Collins, the senator from Alaska, and of course, Mr. Flake down there in Arizona, as question marks whether they will support this nominee. That is the only thing that's forestalling his confirmation to the Supreme Court. I want to read this scripture from Ephesians chapter 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Please join us as we pray for Mr. Kavanaugh, his family, and the Senate committee. And that is a statement that we put out this week in advance of today's hearing. Now, of course, after that statement, there had been others who had come forward, but beginning lots of questions as to these other accusations that are coming up against Mr. Kavanaugh. All of this, by the way, folks, just to derail a conservative member to the U.S. Supreme Court. If the Republicans cave on this and not confirm this very fine, upright, outstanding judicial nominee, then we'll be in real trouble. So we do ask you to pray. And there's much at stake at this point. And I just ask this of you. You know, these are the same folks that are for abortion. If they're for the killing of 60 million unborn lives since 1973, do you think lying is a problem for these folks? Understand what's at stake right now. That's why the Bible says we are in a spiritual warfare. The hounds of hell are surrounding this nominee and trying to keep him from the U.S. Supreme Court, and there's nothing that they wouldn't do to stop or to derail. And whatever they think that it would cause those four members, those four weak U.S. Republican senators to question the nominee and forestall him being confirmed to the bench, they'll do anything. So that's why we just need to pray. These are the days we need to hold firm. Mr. Kavanaugh is holding firm. He said, this is ridiculous. These things are false. I'll be glad to answer any questions. The man is innocent, and these things are just ridiculous. Certainly, we take serious, and they know that we take serious. Any time that a woman has been assaulted, those charges, those accusations need to be taken seriously. That's why the committee took so long to deliberate and to investigate the claims once they were provided the information. Well, we just do ask you to pray, and we'll have more on this in future programs. But today we're going to spend some time talking about those who are running for Congress in the upcoming November 6th election, and we're going to continue our on-air candidate forum today, and we are privileged to have with us Beverly Goldstein, and she's running as a Republican for the 11th Congressional District right here in Cuyahoga County, parts of Summit and Cuyahoga. Beverly, welcome to the program.
Wow, Chris, thanks a lot. You did a beautiful presentation of the circumstances for Judge Kavanaugh right now.
Well, thank you, Beverly. I appreciate that. And let me just ask you right off, what's your thoughts about all that's going on with this with Justice Kavanaugh?
You know, everywhere we turn as conservatives, Chris, people are just so antagonistic to us, so against us. It's like blowing up the world is a better plan than understanding truth and outcomes of bad planning and bad decisions. I'm running because I would really like to partner with the president and my communities, your community too, Chris, to really improve Northern Ohio, Northeast Ohio. And no matter where we turn, at whatever level, they're just daggers coming at us. So I am praying for Judge Kavanaugh, and I listened briefly to his interview with Martha McCallum, and he just impressed me as just a really nice guy. Okay?
Yeah.
And people who interviewed, I mean, people who have read his writing say, besides him being a really nice guy, he's brilliant. So, like, how could we do worse than that? I mean, that'd be a fantastic new Supreme Court justice.
Well, that's exactly right. And Justice Kavanaugh has already served with distinction on a number of federal courts before he was nominated to the U.S. Supreme Court, been vetted by the FBI numerous times in previous government positions that he's held, including the White House legal staff, going back to the Bush first Bush term of Bush 43. So, you know, he was actually in the White House on the day of 9/11. And so this man actually has had a long and illustrious career, and one in which many people throughout his career speak of his character, speak of his integrity, the way that he handles himself around the staff that he works with. And he actually has had a number of female clerks giving women an opportunity to advance their careers through the justice system. You know, they couldn't sing his praise loud enough and saying what an upstanding, decent man that he is. But see, that's what the left does. They seek to destroy that which is good. And that's what the enemy does, Bev. And I know that you're looking at this. We've just come out of the holidays on the Jewish calendar, as well as the New Year and Yom Kippur and Sukkot. In the month of September, it's a great opportunity and real time of rejoicing for the Jewish community. But you've been making your way throughout the various communities in the 11th Congressional District, which includes the African-American community. Tell us a little bit about your engagement there.
Well, it started in 2016. I decided to run, Chris, because Marsha Louise Fudge voted for the Iran deal, and 68,000 people in the district, almost 10%, are Jewish, and we asked her not to vote for the deal. I mean, we send one person, 700,000 people send one person to Congress. We send that person certainly to meet the needs at the federal level. But if you go to Congress to meet the needs at the federal level and you completely, the people you're representing, I feel for what they need, then why are you the representative? I mean, Marsha Fudge, if you look at her record, has voted against so many things that we need here in District 11. And the reason people keep electing her, number one, is the district is more than 50% Black. And in addition, it's very illiterate. 66% of adults 16 years and older in the city of Cleveland are illiterate. 83% in the city of East Cleveland are illiterate. And I am hoping to visit the literacy program in Akron in the next week or so. I've gotten some materials from them, and I want them to know who I am, and I want them to know that I see literacy as the foundation of repairing our district. If we don't start at the level of literacy, doesn't matter. People who are illiterate can't matter of success. They cannot go to job training. They cannot read sufficiently enough to be trained to do something that pays a decent wage. So we have a lot to do here, and she's done nothing in 10 years. And the other side, you know, they knock at your door and they tell you, oh, don't want to vote for that white person who lives in the suburbs. You know, they're the one that's keeping you down. Well, we haven't held this seat in Congress as a Republican Party since 1983, which is 35 years. And it is time to wake up and realize that we are just getting poorer every year. This is like an example of what happened. I got two alerts on my phone about a month ago. The first one said, great news. Jobs have increased in the month of August, 201,000. This is more than was predicted. About a half hour later, I got an alert from the Akron Beacon Journal. It says, we want to let you know that from 2017 to 2018, the poverty level in the city of Akron increased 3.2%. So the country is going in the right direction, and District 11 is going in the wrong direction. Nobody is paying attention to what the viable outcomes can be in the city of East Cleveland. And Michael and I, my husband, we have spent a tremendous amount of time in East Cleveland, and we will do so certainly after the election. But we are trying to defeat a 10-year-serving person who hasn't served us at all.
And Bev, I want to get back to that question of the illiteracy challenge and problem in your district, the 11th district. Recently, I talked to State Representative Andy Brenner, who is the chairman of the House Education Committee at the Ohio State House. And the report cards came out of the various grade levels of the school districts across the state. And we began to look at some of the challenges, and we were obviously grimacing over some of the very poor scoring for just what you're talking about with reading and comprehension in some of the urban areas. But you're talking about adults that are illiterate, then the chances of those children also not being encouraged in school, or their parents not able to even help them in with homework, it becomes a systemic cyclical problem, and one in which we really need to zero in on. I'm so glad that you're looking at that, and tell me what your thoughts are on that.
Okay, let's put this into context. I'm running for a federal office. Education, except for the fact that the U.S. Department of Education is really problematic and needs to be eliminated, education is a local issue here in the state of Ohio, and it's funded through the state. I am really not focusing what I'm talking about on children in our public schools or charter schools or our homeschools. I'm trying to look at how can we work on the economic recovery of our disabled neighborhoods, our dilapidated neighborhoods, our neighborhoods that have high unemployment, child and adult hunger, homelessness, infant deaths, opioid overdoses, failing public schools, utilities shut off, home foreclosures, failing neighborhood safety, crime, incarceration, and difficult felon reentry. Those are some of the key problems that people are talking to me about over and over again. So I made myself a list so I could always have that list with me and pay attention to it. I have come to the conclusion, Chris Long, that every one of these problems stems from the root problem of adult illiteracy. Number one, the number of Black people living in District 11 dropped 4% from the last election in 2016 to now. People who can move and get out of here because they can get a job or they can relocate for other purposes are not sticking around.
Right.
So we are getting poorer and poorer. And communities that are only receiving government assistance for food and housing and other health care and other issues, none of those people are paying taxes and contributing to their local communities or their regional communities. So we have people like you and me, who we're not making a lot of money no matter what we're doing. We're working hard and keeping our families going and whatever, but we're paying massive amounts of taxes.
Yes.
And those taxes are going to help people live very substandard lives. The only way you get out of a substandard life is to be able to read. And if you can read, you can then move yourself forward. So the more we started trying to figure out why there were over 400 job training programs in 2016 in the district, in the 32 communities, we were trying to figure out what's going on. There are all these employers who say they can't employ people, they can't find people. They've got these job training programs, many of which have openings that they're not filling. What's preventing people from moving forward? And it wasn't until Michael and I stumbled on Seeds of Literacy on West 25th, and they also have an open satellite site on Kinsman, and they're open houses today, by the way, at both locations till 7:30 tonight. Anybody listening who would like to know who they are and what they do, I am being given their address. Okay, it's 13815 Kinsman, if anybody's interested in attending. Until we went to these places and started to really understand what they were doing, they were taking people who make $9 an hour, working 30 hours a week, giving them reading skills, basic math skills, and basic computer skills, and putting these people in a position of getting a GED, and then ending up, instead of earning $18,000 a year, we're earning $48,000 a year, or $52,000 a year.
Right.
You can't move off of this government check, and you can't move out of these $9 an hour jobs, not if you're a college student. I'm not talking about that. I know lots of college students do a lot of, you know, entry-level stuff to get their bills paid while they're in college, buy their books, have a little extra spending money. But we're talking about adults trying to live on this money.
Mm.
Well, one person can't live alone on that money, let alone a single mom or a single dad trying to raise a child or two or three. It came like a boulder hitting me in the head, Chris. It's all rolling back down to illiteracy.
This is
if we don't use HUD money to start incentivizing neighborhood clinics, which we then tie directly to state and local job training programs, which we then tie directly to employers who say they will take our people as they move from illiteracy to literacy, from literacy to job training, from job training to a job. Make that a given. If you're Johnny and you step on the ladder to move into becoming a literate person, we're going to guarantee you that you can continue stepping up one step at a time till we get you out of that government check or that $9 an hour job.
We're
now,
talking
are
with
we
Bev.
Help everybody.
Right.
No.
We're talking with Bev Goldstein. She is a candidate for the 11th congressional district. She will be on the November 6th ballot. She did fill out the survey for the Ohio Christian Alliance candidate survey. She will be listed in our voter guide and our website at ohioca.org. The voter guide will be listed in the first part of October. Bev, what is your website where people can follow you and your campaign?
It's the name Beverly, then the number 4congress.com. So it's Beverly4congress.com. We are on Twitter at Bev Goldstein. We also have a Facebook page. Our Twitter runs on our website. So if you want to take a look at some of the tweets, some of the tweets have to do with national security, and some of the tweets have to do with local issues and places that we go as much as possible. In 77 days, I went from 40 Twitter followers to 10,000 followers in 77 days. People are very interested in my campaign and in helping change Northeast Ohio.
Bev, I also want to ask you a couple quick questions. We only have 2 minutes left. Many candidates say they're either pro-choice or pro-life. What is your position on the abortion issue?
Well, I'm pro-life. I'm very strongly pro-life. I think the more you educate yourself about reproduction and development of a fetus and the birth of babies, it's really hard to love the environment and to love the trees if you don't love the babies. So I'm very pro-life.
Another question is, what is the number one thing you would seek to do if elected to the U.S. Congress from Ohio?
There are two issues. One would be to support the president in every effort that he has underway with national security, strengthening our borders, building the wall, reducing illegal immigration, deporting people who are violent criminals who don't belong in this country, and to create these adult literacy clinics. Those are my two primary goals.
Bev, thanks so much for joining us on the program today. We so appreciate you taking time and stopping in and talking with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
That was Bev Goldstein. She is a candidate for the 11th Congressional District. She will be on the November 6th ballot. That covers Cuyahoga County, parts of Summit County, the 11th Congressional District. And again, you can learn more at our website. If you missed any of today's program, you can hear this interview in its entirety on our website at ohioca.org. Don't go away. We'll be right back on the other side with another congressional candidate running in the 9th Congressional District. That's Steve Krause. He's calling from Washington, D.C. as he was down there for meetings. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages. This is Chris Long with the Ohio Christian Alliance, encouraging you to register and vote. We're also encouraging churches to conduct Citizenship Sundays now through October 7th, which is the voter registration deadline for this year. You can conduct a successful Citizenship Sunday by going to our website at ohioca.org or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance and download the helpful voter registration packet. Just click on the Register to Vote icon and 8 pages will load and you can print those off, which includes a voter registration form, application for absentee ballot, and a voter guide request form of how many voter guides you will need for your church. Again, just go to our website at ohioca.org or Google Ohio Christian Alliance or phone 330-887-1922.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
And we're back, continuing with our candidate forum. Today, of course, on our show, we are featuring two congressional candidates, as we just concluded with Bev Goldstein running in the 11th Congressional District. And now we're going to turn to the 9th Congressional District, which basically runs from Lorain County all the way over to the Toledo area. It is the along the lakeshore. It is the 9th Congressional District, currently held by Marcy Kaptur. She is the Democrat, but she's being challenged by Steve Krause, and he's with us on the phone from Washington, D.C. As he took an overnight bus trip down there for a rally on the mall in support of another congressman from Ohio, Jim Jordan, and also to support Justice Kavanaugh as the hearings continue on Capitol Hill. Steve, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Chris. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, thanks, Steve. Glad that you're able to join us today. We're on the bus. So far, we have good transmission. We're glad for that. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, well, it's good. And we just left D.C. It's beautiful. We had gorgeous weather today. It was 85 degrees. The rally was very sensational. It was very energizing. Had a great host of speakers. And Jim Jordan came out and spoke with us. Even Mary Taylor, Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor, was there supporting Jim as Speaker of the House. And it was really a great turnout for Americans, for patriots, for Christians who really want to take our government back. And that's really what it was about, returning the government to we the people. Because Jim Jordan has been doing a great job as a congressman. And one of the things they pointed out was how he is the one who we've, you know, through the investigations, has found out all the things that the FBI and the CIA and some of the others have been, you know, the misbehaving that's been going on. And thank God for him. Thank God that God has raised him up, and as Speaker, Will can even go farther to keep pushing the Trump agenda and bring prosperity back and secure the borders and do that which is necessary to make us a sovereign nation and a prosperous nation in the security of each and every American citizen.
Well, Steve, that's great. Looked like the rally. We saw some of the reports went well attended. That was, of course, to support Jim Jordan for Speaker of the House if the Republicans retain the House. And that is in question as the midterms historically have gone to the party out of power in the midterms. But it is yet to be determined as to how some of these races will go. You're running a tough race there in the 9th Congressional District. You formerly served as a state representative in that area. You're well known in the district. You've been making your rounds around the district. Do want to tell our listeners that you did fill out the Ohio Christian Alliance candidate survey. You will be featured in the Ohio Christian Alliance voter guide that will be published first part of October. It will be on our website at ohioca.org, or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance voter guide. And you'll be able to pull that up. We have surveyed candidates from the governor's race, statewide, congressional, Ohio House, Ohio Senate, and also information on issue one, of which we are urging a no vote on issue one. Well, Steve, tell us why you're running for Congress.
Well, I'm running for Congress because, in all due respect, and Chris, you know this because I the congressional class I took was one that you guys put together back in 2011, the first time that I threw my hat in the ring and decided I wanted to run for Congress. And it was the James Garfield class, if you remember. I'm running because I was ashamed of the direction the country was going in. And the country that I was leaving my children and grandchildren was not the same country that I had inherited from my father and grandfather. And I was afraid that the freedoms and liberties that I have enjoyed my entire life were being eroded away by a force, and we didn't call it the swamp at the time. Back then, we called it the establishment or the party of power or the, you know, something like that. But it seemed like we slowly were losing all our constitutional rights, and that I feared for the future of our nation. So as a military man, former, you know, I'm a veteran, 11-year active duty Air Force, 7-year contractor, traveled all around the world. I was in Special Forces. I was in the first Gulf War, done a lot of black ops stuff. I stood up because I took an oath of office back in 77 when I graduated from high school to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States from all enemies, both foreign and domestic. And my oath of office has no expiration date. And it was time to stand up and fight for the freedoms and liberties for not only that I had, that my grandfather and father gave me, but for my future generations, for the future generations of all of us. So I threw my hat in the ring in 2012, and here I am in 2018, still slugging it out and fighting the good fight and charging up the hill. And I'm just a regular Buckeye. I was born in Bowling Green, Ohio. My father was a Navy veteran. My older brother was a Navy veteran, and my eldest brother is an Army veteran. Just work hard and try, you know, roll up your sleeves, do the right thing. You know, just go out there, and by the sweat of your brow and the elbow grease, you can, the American dream is for each and every one of us. It's not equal outcome, it's equal opportunity. And that's what our founders found for us. We have equal opportunity to achieve the American dream, each and every one of us. And I want that for my children and grandchildren. I want it for you, Chris. I want it for your family. I want it especially for the 9th Congressional District that has been under 4 decades of Democrat rule, abject misery. I mean, we've hemorrhaged all our jobs. They've all gone overseas and elsewhere. And Marcy Kaptur's been in charge the whole time. And she is a out-and-out socialist. She supports Bernie Sanders. She didn't even support Hillary Clinton. That's how bad she is. And by the way, she didn't fill out your survey because she didn't want to answer your questions, which I was more than happy to do. So as a Christian, as a Buckeye, as a veteran, and as a person, who, as an American patriot, I'm here to do the right thing. I want to serve the people like I served them when I was in the military. I'm not interested in making a career out of it. I'm going to go up there, and I'm going to help President Trump pass his agenda. It's unbelievable how great the country is going right now, the direction we're heading in. Nobody could have predicted that it would have turned around so fast with the economy at a 4.2 GDP. I mean, economics is incredible. I mean, the union benches are empty. They're looking for people to employ. Vocational workers are desperately needed. For the first time, Lorain Steele is firing back up in Lorain. And the Democrats in my district, they're having a glimmer of hope now of the American dream. They want prosperity, too. And Trump's finally bringing it in, and they like it. And I'll just tell you a little secret.
Well, just a minute.
Democrats.
I want to remind our listeners, we are listening to Steve Krause. He is a candidate for the 9th Congressional District. He will be on the November 6th ballot, and Steve is running as a Republican in the 9th Congressional District. Steve, I want to ask you a question here. What, in your opinion, is the biggest problem in Washington right now?
Entitlement. They believe they're entitled to everything. We have elected officials that believe that they are lords, and they go up there and they build fiefdoms to themselves, and they have forgotten that they're supposed to be a servant. They're public servants, and that we are the bosses. And they, you know, quite frankly, they've turned away from God. And Benjamin Franklin said that he gave us a constitutional republic if you can keep it. And that that our system of government is wholly, you know, you can't do it without without God. And because it won't work with people without faith. And it's the biggest problem that I have seen, and I saw it in the State House, and I see it up here, is these people get treated like kings and queens, and so they start believing their own BS. And they just think they're entitled and they can do no wrong. So the law only applies to us and not to them.
Well, you know, I have a little story to tell. It was one of the senators from Jim Inhofe from Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And they're on Capitol Hill. That's a restricted area, but senators are able to pull their own vehicles up there. And Jim Inhofe is a senator from Oklahoma. He served for years. He's a down-to-earth kind of guy. He has a large family. He's adopted. Him and his wife have adopted a number of children. And he pulls up in this Ford Bronco, this old rusty Ford Bronco. Mm-hmm. I love that because it's like this was his car, you know, and he was just really a down-to-earth kind of guy. He comes out, he doesn't have a detail with him, a security detail. I said, "Hey, Senator Inhofe, big fan of Ohio." We talked, wow. You know, people that we both knew and had pleasantries. And I love that down-to-earth. And here he is, a U.S. senator from Oklahoma. So I agree with you. Some of them, though, they walk around like it's royalty and all that kind of thing. That's never what the founders intended. I really like the down-to-earth kind of people that are very approachable. And, you know, I think we've had that here in Ohio where we've had congressmen that are very approachable. We may not always agree with them, but at least if they're able to engage with constituents, right. That's important. So I like your perspective on that. I want to turn a corner here to many candidates say they're either pro-choice or pro-life. What is your position on abortion, Steve?
I'm pro-life. I, you know, a long time ago, and I don't think I put this on your questionnaire, but back in when I still lived in Florida, I was the president of the Okaloosa County Christian Coalition. And we used to actually go out and protest in front of the abortion clinics over in Pensacola, Florida. I'm absolutely against abortion. I was one of the first co-sponsors for the heartbeat bill when I was in the Ohio House.
Yes.
And basically the only exception that I would accept would be the life of the mother. Rape and incest, it doesn't make any sense to kill a child for the life for somebody else's bad behavior. But when I look at the life of a mother, which is extremely rare, if ever now, because of our medical advances, It's like it's a battlefield situation. Well, one's got to live, so the other one has to die, so the other one could live. But I think that when we sacrifice as a society, which we've done with Roe v. Wade, the most innocent of our society on the altar of convenience, we all have blood on our hands, and it's no wonder that our society is falling apart. Because if we're not going to protect the most innocent, who are we going to protect?
Very good. We're talking with Steve Krause. He is a candidate for the 9th Congressional District, and that runs along the lake shore of Cleveland from Lorain all the way over to the Toledo area. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back on the other side to continue our conversation in our candidate forum with Steve Krause.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
This is Chris Long with the Ohio Christian Alliance, encouraging you to register and vote. We're also encouraging churches to conduct Citizenship Sundays now through October 7th, which is the voter registration deadline for this year. You can conduct a successful Citizenship Sunday by going to our website at ohioca.org or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance and download the helpful voter registration packet. Just click on the Register to Vote icon and 8 pages will load and you can print those off, which includes a voter registration form, application for absentee ballot, and a voter guide request form of how many voter guides you will need for your church. Again, just go to our website at ohioca.org or Google Ohio Christian Alliance or phone 330-887-1922. And we're back continuing with our candidate forum, and I do want to give this statement. The Ohio Christian Alliance is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to promoting Judean Christian values in American government. Ohio Christian Alliance does not endorse any particular candidate or political party. Information in the voter guide is provided for educational purposes only. And that is true of this broadcast as well. We provide this candidate forum for you to understand and to get to know the candidates. Also, issue one is going to be on the ballot, and issue one is basically going to reduce sentencing of drug offenders, in fact, drug traffickers. One of the statements are makes possession of any amount of deadly drugs nothing more than a misdemeanor and forbids jail sentencing for the first two offenses, no matter what quantity of drugs are involved. Many law enforcement, prosecutors, many community leaders, the Ohio Christian Alliance and Citizens for Community Values and other number of groups are coming out against Issue 1. We are urging a no vote on Issue 1. It would be disastrous. We are already fighting a war on drugs in this state with the opiate addiction crisis in our communities, and we're trying to get out ahead of that and help people that need help. Certainly, there is sentencing reform that's happening for those of less offense, nonviolent offenders. Judges are looking at that where people need help, and they're basically sentencing them to rehab to get the help that they need, not just to put them in jail. But this issue one is not the answer to that, and there is another way to go forward. Steve, let me ask your opinion of issue one. Have you had time to look at it, and what is your opinion?
Oh, absolutely. We've been a topic, hot topic of discussion for the last several weeks here. And if you, we had our actual Erie County Sheriff Zigward came in and spoke about 2 weeks ago and said that 19 grams of fentanyl, which is what they want to decriminalize, is enough to kill 10,000 people. 19 grams.
Wow.
So this is a death sentence. Issue one is a death sentence. It's going to bring chaos to our streets because we're going to release all these, because it's retroactive. People that are in prison now can apply for it and get released early. He was talking about 25% of the prison population getting released, and that's going to put more criminals on the street. And then with the offenses of being misdemeanors, they get two misdemeanors before they're actually going to go to prison for trafficking. It's just going to be chaos. And the real kicker is this is an amendment to our Constitution. It's not going through the legislative process. Our state representatives and state senators don't get to vote on this. And it's all funded by outside money by guess who?
George Soros.
George Soros.
And Mark Zuckerberg.
Imagine that. All of this outside money. I heard Zuckerberg spent $14 million. I don't know how much Soros did. And they paid people to go around and gather up petitions to put it on our ballot to change our laws to make us one of the most lenient drug states in the nation.
This would put a target on Ohio. The Mexican drug cartels would focus on our state and flood it even more with these lethal drugs. Folks, you need to get educated on issue one and tell your family, your friends, your associates to vote no on issue one. Mike DeWine is against issue one. Dave Yost, they've been on this program. They made that proclamation for whatever reason. Richard Cordray is for it. I think that doesn't make any sense at all. And so papers are going to start coming out against issue one as well. We as Ohioans need to vote this down, and you can't assume that, well, you say, well, that's lunacy. Nobody would vote for that. Don't take anything for guests. Make sure that we get out there and vote no on issue one. Well, Steve, I appreciate that, your thoughts on issue one, and we appreciate you taking a position of no on issue one. That's fantastic. One of the things that has come up this last week here in Cauga County, it's more of a local issue, but it does veer into some federal issues as well. Under the Obama administration, we saw where the Obama administration wanted to actually make public restrooms in schools available for transgender students. This was an alarm to many parents, as there might be boys going into girls' locker rooms. Here in Cuyahoga County last night, the county council, even in the face of fierce opposition from community leaders and citizens, voted in an 8-3 margin to advance what they're calling a human rights commission, which basically would start penalizing businesses, churches, even individuals in the county who they say discriminate against LGBTQ individuals. And this basically what it is saying is if a transgender goes into the restroom of the opposite sex, that could be a fine. And so that, you know, churches and pastors and individuals and citizens came out in force to oppose this, yet this democratically controlled county council voted in an 8-3 margin last night to advance this so-called human rights commission. What's your thoughts on that?
It's insanity run amok. I just don't understand. I mean, God made men and women, boys and girls, and you can't let an adult male who thinks he's a transgender go into the women's bathroom because he feels like he's a woman that day, when my daughter, my 5-year-old daughter's in there or something. I mean, this is insanity. And by the way, I want to correct something. My district runs from Toledo all the way into Cuyahoga. I actually have the northern parts of Parma and Parma Heights at about 117th Street West. So that issue concerns me as well. And what really gets me is that you have these legislators, even on a local level, that are not listening to the public. Again, here's this entitlement mentality. I'm the mayor, or I'm the city council person, or I'm going to do what I want regardless of what the will of the people is. And too many times now, we've had people that have been elected to office, and it does, and you've seen it, we've had this conversation where they say all the right things so that we support them, and then they go to Washington or they go to Columbus, and then it seems like they do a 180-degree turn, and you don't have access to them anymore, or they're not being responsive. And they kind of go along to get along with the swamp or with the unibrow or the party of power or the establishment. And that's really where I even support term limits now, because somehow we have to limit these people from being able to be in office for 30, 40 years. Even my Democrat friends up in the 9th district agree with me. Marcy Kaptur has been there 36 years, which is too long.
Well, Steve, appreciate your thoughts on that. One of the other questions we put on our survey was public school curriculum that teaches that homosexuality as an acceptable, healthy lifestyle. You oppose that. And yet what we're seeing in public schools, we're hearing reports of public schools, again, in the municipalities, not state law, but local districts starting to implement transgender bathrooms or for transgender students. We're talking about minors. First of all, what is in the head of these parents of trying to change the gender of your child? And I just heard it in an incident in Akron School. You're seeing this Human Rights Council advanced in Cuyahoga County. We're hearing other reports in school. On the federal level, the president has rolled back the President Obama's order in the public school through the Department of Education, but yet we're seeing people try to take matters into their own hands on the local level. What can parents do at this point, and what's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, several things. First of all, the left is all in. You have to understand from Judge Kavanaugh, what they're doing to him on Capitol Hill, they are all in. They thought they won on election night in 2016. Hillary Clinton and the rest of them were three quarters of the way down their victory lap when they found out at 10 o'clock that night they didn't win. And now they're unmasked. They're all in, pedal to the metal. We have to pray, first of all, and we have to stand and fight against this evil, and we have to call it the evil that it is, because this is really a spiritual battle against good versus evil. Are we going to go down the road of Venezuela where we have open borders and anybody can come in here and do anything that they want? Are we going to be a sovereign nation, as President Trump proposed at the UN, I believe it was just yesterday? And those are real questions. I want our American future. I want our children to have an American future. And I'm proud to be American, so I'm standing firm for each and every one of us and the people of the 9th District.
This is Steve Krause. He's a candidate for the 9th Congressional District that runs from Cuyahoga County over to the Toledo area along the lakeshore. You can learn more about his campaign at his website. Steve, give us the website.
It is www.krauseforthehouse.com. That's www.krauseforthehouse.com. I will like to tell you one more thing.
Well, we're running out of time. I just want to give us that website again.
Okay, www.krauseforthehouse.com.
Steve, thanks so much for being on the program again. That's Steve Krause running for the 9th Congressional District.
To News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.